the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to the Runner's Diary episode 85. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, our featured fixtures.
And this week, we catch up with Anthony O'Brien. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillow Performance.
Pillow Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillow will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillow Performance product. Okay, again, welcome back to everybody. And again, a huge thanks to everybody who gave us feedback on last week's podcast again. I think it was slightly different this time with Louise, but again, really went down really, really well. Not a very a great guest that we had on, full of information, as we said there last week. So thanks for the feedback. You know, when we record these things, we're not live, so we don't get people phoning in. So it's always good to get the comments. And, you know, as you would have seen, we've got some lovely, we got a comment in actually, Damien, on Spotify, I think this week, didn't we? Which was a nice one to hear.
Look, I know, okay, I always, coming from a retail, and I know, Brian, you work in, you know, with other people as well, and you tend to hear people, you know, not, you know, the bad things sometimes more than the good things. And there's nothing better than getting a good message. So throw the messages up on Spotify. If you don't like the show, then just message us privately and tell us why you don't like the show, because these things are actually important to help to grow the show. And, you know, we need to make sure that we are doing that. But look, again, I actually really enjoyed the interview with Louise last week. A couple of people again into the shop saying they really enjoyed it, learned an awful lot from it. We actually did our first YouTube short today. On Sunday, which is a 55-second snippet of the interview with Louise, of what I thought was a brilliant part about her family and how important the Paris Olympics is for her family to be there and for her to qualify. So people can go again. We're going to come to our YouTube anyway. But check out our shorts and check out what we're doing more with the podcast. We're learning YouTube ourselves because we're old and, you know, we're not very tech savvy, so we're learning this as we go as well. So, you know, bear with us, it's going to get better.
Yeah, how was your week anyway in general with running and all that? I hear you were spotted up the country somewhere today, or down the country maybe.
In the county, I was down to Middleton.
Yeah,
Middleton opened up the new greenway down there, part of the new greenway. So at the moment it's 5 miles out and 5 miles back. So I joined Jonathan for an early morning 6:30 start this morning down there. And the plan was a 13-mile run with, you know, 5 miles easy, then 2 miles at Jonathan's half marathon pace, mile easy, 2 miles at Jonathan's half marathon pace, and then 3 miles easy. So I really enjoyed it. I must say, I'm sore. I'm not going to lie to you. It's the longest run I've done, Brian, I think about a year and a half.
Yeah. So, but you know what? Somewhere new as well is always good to get out and then see 100%. Somewhere different. Yeah.
And it's lovely.
These greenways are great, aren't they? They are, I know there's more of them coming online as well, but they're always good to get out to. And, you know, you can run on good surface and there's no cars to be annoying or anything like that. So it's a great initiative, and the more the better, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's lovely down there. But no, I was delighted with it. Jonathan, in fairness to him, we ended up running faster than good bit faster than his half marathon pace.
You better watch the space for Jonathan. So
he's fit.
Watch the space.
So
pressure's on him now.
Yeah,
pressure's
how was yours?
Yeah, a bit of a mixed week for me again. So similar to last week, really. So kind of nailed the speed session during the week. Good mileage overall for the week. I'm kind of hitting high 50s consistently now, and so happy with that. But the long run this morning, look, I still got a lot out of it. Still got a 20-mile run. Again, I was kind of saying the same thing last week. I got a bit out of it, but didn't nail the full session. It was 4x3-miler at marathon pace and just felt a bit leggy on it. And again, I know it sounds like making excuses, but I was running on it on my own for 20 miles. Eventually, like, you know, when the head starts talking to you, you kind of, I think when you're someone else is with you, you kind of talk your way through it. But when you're on your own, the demons start talking to you too much, and I find it kind of pulled the plug eventually on it. No, I pulled the plug on the speed session that I was doing, but still did a 20-miler. So look, not overly I hit most of the session again, so we just see how it goes, I suppose. Look, yeah, the legs are a bit tired.
I've said it up the times, Brian, and you know, I think today with Jonathan is a perfect example. Running with someone, especially long
Huge
run,
difference,
sees it,
yeah.
it's massive. I don't know, some people can do it on their own, and
Some
that's
can, yeah.
fair play to them. I actually would, I envy you. Personally, I need to run with a group just for my headspace and just
Well, I'm the same. As I'm saying,
target.
I would prefer to run with a group too, because I think, especially in these sessions, like, you know, you're 3 quarters away into it before you feel anything, because you've passed the time where I think today on my 20-mile run, I think I was 10 miles in and I was like, I could stop now. I could, but like, I did keep going, but I was like, I could stop now, really, because it's just getting, you know, tired of
But
it. But yeah,
Brian, you didn't stop and
I didn't.
you got the mileage done. You're now 4 weeks out.
4 weeks, yeah. I suppose one
So
thing too, before we move on, we better just mention briefly last Wednesday. So obviously you had a bit of a gig inside with the Edge there, and many good companies in there, in fairness. One of them
yes.
was Precision. And I'd be doing more of this, and I'll put it out there on our YouTube channel as well. But I took a salt test last Wednesday, done by George from Precision Fueling. And to be fair, and you were there for it yourself, and we put it out on YouTube, I was quite taken aback with the results. Something I didn't expect, and something I think George didn't probably expect either. But I turned out to be a very,
74
how is
years
it?
old. You turned out to be
Yeah.
74 years
So,
old.
yeah. But I turned out to be something I didn't think I was. But when he went through it, it makes sense. So he was going to say, I'm not a big sweater, but I'm a salty sweater. So I'm losing a lot of salt in my runs, which, as people who would have been tuned in here a long time might know, I've always been complaining about my calves and cramping in my calves. So we think a lot of that is related to my lack of sodium, and I don't take salt actually my dinners and food either. So that, again, he was saying you're starting from a very low spot. So I put it out on YouTube as well, and maybe people will see what it's all about. But very, very interesting, to be fair enough. So now I'm drinking salt at every opportunity. Yeah,
No, and it
pints of
does.
salt.
It makes a big difference. And actually, to be fair, we are going to be holding another one of those sodium test days in within the shop as well. Come in the probably about a month's time, but we'll be putting that out there. So, if anybody who's listening now is anyway interested in doing it, let us know. Because we will judge by numbers again when that will happen very soon.
And just before I go, and again, as I said, I'll cover this in the YouTube video, but it's not just that, because since then, they've followed on with a kind of a plan and a few, and like, again, you know, it's not annoying, it's actually all information, you know, a plan that you can use in your training, a plan that you can use on your race day, and your hydration plan. So, like, very, very insightful, in fairness. So I was very impressed by it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Our marathon plan, week six, has been released a couple of days now, and we had Brian a competition, which I think has been our best competition so far.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks to Bodylite again from Project and Bodylite, who had given us a gorgeous gilet, which by the way I did actually wear today in my run as well. Lovely top. Go over to our YouTube channel and check it out. All you have to do to win this is subscribe to our YouTube channel and leave us a comment in the down below the video, and you are then entered into that draw, which we will give out the winners on Saturday. But the draw is done on Thursday, so just bear in mind you have till Thursday around 6 o'clock to get your entries in. So
And
brilliant prize.
I think important just to mention again, this is not just for those following the
No.
plan or first time marathoners. Anybody can enter, anybody at all who's listening here, anybody who's following us, just comment and subscribe. That's all we're asking to do. You don't even have to watch the video, as you said
No,
last week.
but I encourage people to watch it, and I mean that. And I encourage people because we do questions and answers on it, which we're going into a lot of detail with a lot of these questions. And again, people ask us, if you're in the comments, put down a question that you have about any issue you have within the marathon. We will try our answer. If you don't know it, we let you know we don't know it. We will do our best. So Ken Nason, obviously again, who's been a massive help to us, is on with us, giving us the plan, but we do the question and answers as well. So I encourage people, please go over and subscribe and like and leave a comment, and you are, you know, entered into the competition as well. But look, this is something we're doing out of pure and utter love of the sport, and we want to give people as much information as they can to progress as fast as they can.
You mentioned Ken Nason there. So Ken Nason, I believe, was spotted with some Runner's Diary merchandise there on the other side of the world again today. So the hat is on its travels again. And this time it's turned up in New York outside Trump Tower. So Ken is going to work on having a chat with Donald Trump there to see if he can cash roll our podcast maybe and take us to another
Maybe.
level. Will
Yeah,
we try it?
he might
Yeah. He
bankrupt us
he
at that
likes
point.
wearing the pig caps, doesn't he, Donald Trump? So we might get him an old pig cap one instead.
Yeah, he might bankrupt us as well, but
Yeah.
we see.
Anyway.
Mightn't be a bad thing.
No, competitions, competitions, more competitions. So last week we had an unbelievable competition, and I think we had over 300 entrants, if I'm
Oh,
right.
it
I
was
think, yeah.
247 on Facebook alone.
Alone, yeah, exactly,
Instagram
yeah.
was well over, I would say, like last time I checked, was about 60 odd, 70 odd. It could be more than that.
Yeah. So all combined, we rolled everybody into the one hat, and we picked a winner, and the winner is just drawn.
Tommy Byrne and Aisling Cochrane. So congratulations, you get to pick a race of your choosing, with pop-up races in the series from the Peugeot series. Brilliant prize. We encourage you to we'll be on to you now, but send us pictures afterwards, and we'll get it up there, and delighted for you and well done, and best luck with whatever race you pick.
Yeah. And still we go on with another prize. So as you said, the Body Light one is one going on our YouTube channel, but we have another great prize this week. And again, we're encouraging people to get behind this one. This time it's heading to Limerick for the Michael Rymer Dineen 10 miler, and that takes place on Sunday, April 14th. I believe a very popular race, and it's been going for a few years now. So again, that's the Michael Rymer Dineen 10 miler on Sunday, April the 14th. And again, we have two entries. Thanks to everybody there at the Dunedin AC Club. We've two entries for that race, and the usual rules apply. We put the competition out on a Tuesday. You tag your running friend and share the post, and you'll be in with a chance of winning that one. So again, for anybody who'd like a good 10 miler, that's a good competition to enter in as well.
Exactly, yeah. So, Brian, polls. Results of our poll for last week. So, it was a hammering, rather was. I kind of would have guessed. So, if you could only pick one item to use forever, which would it be? Super shoes, or watch? And super shoes finished with 16.7%, and watch finished with 83.3%.
Yeah.
So,
Are we influencing this? We both picked out. I think everything we picked this the past few weeks has been the answer, hasn't it?
yeah, but this next one won't be.
No, no,
Okay,
no. No.
so
Before we go off that very briefly, and I won't spend long on this, but Ken Nason on the YouTube video last week said he was born in a time where he didn't need to watch and all this kind of rubbish that he spouts out every now and again. Ken Nason was spotted on Wednesday in the space of 5 seconds. Checking his watch 10 times. I'm the person who spotted him, so it definitely happened, and he can't lie about it. So Ken, you're full of you know what.
slave to the watch, boy. He's a slave to the watch.
Yeah.
Right, this week's poll. So we want to know, what is Ireland's favorite shoe brand? Now, on this poll, I will say straight off, right, we can only pick seven brands, okay? So, or seven things, so we can't go further. So, apologies if I missed somebody's favorite brand, but we're kind of some of the main ones. So, one with Asics, Adidas, Nike, Saucony, Hoka, Brooks, or other. Now, this is not just your favorite race issue. This is your favorite shoes of, it can be easy running, hard running, whatever you want it to be. It's your favorite brand of shoes you like to wear. Brian, what's your favorite brand of shoes to wear?
Favorite brand definitely would be Nike. I would say, like, I started in Asics years ago. I've moved to Nike. I stick with Nike. No, I wasn't with you the other day, and I know I'm going to try a few others as well. I think it's time to broaden the mind a bit, because as we've been hearing, actually, by a lot of the guests that have come on the last couple of weeks, the other guys have caught up, and it's now kind of a fairly level playing ground again. So I'm interested in just trying a few more. I think it's. It's just time to experiment a bit more now. So yeah, I'll go with Naito overall.
Okay, mine is
You?
Saucony.
Yeah.
Will be
Yeah,
my favorite
they've
brand at
been
the moment.
coming popular in the last couple of years
Yeah.
again, haven't they? Yeah.
I have a full range now, thankfully, as well, but lovely shoe. But look, go head over to our Spotify again, as I always say, even if you're not listening on Spotify, just head over there and answer the poll. What is Ireland's favorite running shoe brand? We're very intrigued to know.
Yeah. And again, I know it's something that people ask about a lot, and we talk about it in stages. But again, using our YouTube channel, Damon, you very kindly offered to do some shoe reviews. No, it won't be today or tomorrow, but it will be coming up in the future as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to start working on YouTube shoe reviews. It's not going to be super shoes, I can tell people straight off. That's not going to be the case.
There's
I'm
enough
going
out
to
there about
be,
them anyway, isn't there?
correct, yeah, I'm going to be going more of your everyday cushioned comfort shoes that people will, tend to wear 5 days a week if they're running 6 days a week. Do you know what I mean? So I'm going to go through that. I'm actually going to start with the Brooks Glycerin, which we had on from the event the other day. So I'm actually going to do that. It's going to be just my point of view, just to give as much information to people as they possibly can. My problem at the moment is just trying to figure out how to actually do it the best way, but give me time and in the next coming weeks, it will be done.
I think it's great though, because, like, as you said, like, there's so much put out there on shoe reviews about the super shoes, as you say, but like there's little talk anymore about your everyday runner. So I think people will be interested in that. So I'm even myself interested in that as well. So look forward to that.
I'm starting that soon.
The Cork running track saga continues. It's closed, it's open. It was never bad in the first place. It was bad. What the true story is, people who were out there last week said it wasn't that bad, and then people who were there said it was horrific. So it's all over the place. But I think latest is it's back. No, for
No,
those
it's not
that,
back.
well, sorry, it's there's a plan to be back. I should say, like,
Correct,
maybe,
yes.
but maybe for those who aren't aware, or maybe who are not from Cork, maybe I'm wondering what's this all about. But it's
I
kicked,
think, Brian, I think people know this all over Ireland
all
because this
over
has been
India.
everywhere. But yes, give a brief overview.
Well, I suppose for a sport that's so popular in Cork, ultimately we're down to 200-400 running tracks in the whole county, really, isn't it, over the last number of years? And one of them has been closed for renovations for quite a while now. That's the MTU track.
Yeah, that's for quite some time.
So that's been planned to be resurfaced. It's halfway through the project, but it's not moving forward quickly. So, of course, everybody then was heavily relying on the
Maradike.
second track, which is the Maradike Sonny O'Sullivan track, which is again, now there is 200 meter tracks around, but this we're talking about 400 here, and there is plans to build other 400 meter tracks, but still at the moment. So news broke last week, as I said, it's not new news, but news broke last week, and we were tagged in a number of posts, so I think we have to comment on it, that the track had fallen into such a state of, safety, I suppose, concerns, that the track was being closed with immediate effect, leaving basically no track in Cork. So some people use it quite regularly for the training, but obviously there's county championships and so on and so on. And John Quigley, the Cork PRO, did a good article saying, the Cork County Championships are now going to be held in Kerry and Waterford and all these different places, Limerick, So it did create a bit of chaos, in fairness, And then we move on to.
Yeah, so but before we move on, I just want to say one thing. All right, like there's a lot of road runners who run on the track, all right, and we can get over it. Okay, we can deal with being on a road, and there's no issues with that. Like I talked to a good few who have said, "Look, we'll just move to the road." The problem is the people, and this goes for a lot of younger people, who are solely track and field runners, and competitors, and all of a sudden now you're asking that person, all right, to go out on the road and then all of a sudden turn up to a race having worn spikes in probably weeks and having run a proper 400 meters on a track or a 200 meter or a 100 meters and then just running a county championships or a Munster championships or an All Ireland. And it's like, it's not a level playing field straight away for them, all right? The health and safety aspect of it, all right, is the track great? No. All right. Can they move into a second lane? Yes. It's horseshit. All right. I'm sorry. The health and safety aspect of this was a load of bollocks. All right. And they're using it as an excuse. And I'm not going to say too much, but I have an idea of what they're doing. And now they're playing hardball. They're now trying to get funding from Athletics
Funds
Ireland to
are
move
coming
over.
available all of a sudden, doesn't it?
Exactly. All right. And that's great. And if that happens, absolutely brilliant. But the way UCC have dealt with this situation is a disgrace. The way the last minute email out to the clubs was an absolute joke. All right. If the track is unsafe, it's been unsafe for months. So this should have been brought in front of the clubs and going, "Look, lads, track is unsafe. We're going to have to come up with a solution. You're going to have to move from lane one. You're going to have to go to lane two. Close this. We'll do this. We'll do that." a bit of communication with the clubs, but
Yeah.
UCC decided to do the bollocks in it and go away and do everything behind everyone's back. So they should hang their heads in shame, and I mean that for the way they dealt with this.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm annoyed.
No, I just we like to hear you getting annoyed every now and again. The other gripe I've had, what it is like, why are we in this situation? As in, like, we have two tracks in the whole, not quite a big county, as we know, it
Which
takes a couple
aren't
of.
owned by.
Well, that was going to come to two college tracks. So, like, you know, you look at around at the organizations that are involved in athletics and driving athletics in the country and so on and so on. Like, where is. And like we're talking years here, clubs have been established for years. Now, how are we in the situation where we don't have maybe a kind of communal track between a number of clubs? And I can tell you this much from being slightly involved. Well, I was more involved, but in a 200-meter track that we're trying to build out here, support from certain areas is fantastic, but support from inside the actual sport that we're in is was pretty slow. And it's a, you know, a lot of these upcoming tracks and tracks that are done up the country. You know, there's some fantastic tracks in Dublin now have to be developed in the last year or two, and in Limerick again, some, you know, West is a West Limerick again, and a few others. And I know for a fact those clubs drove that and fundraised for it, and obviously grants were involved, but lack of support from the sport itself, I think, anyway, in my own opinion, yeah.
Yeah, and like first, like once MTU is sorted, it's going to be a phenomenal track, all right? And MTU are very good to the latest clubs, and I mean by that is, and they let it out. It's not an expensive rate. It's, you know, it's very feasible for clubs to do it, but there needs to be a designated athletics, Cork Athletics track. Somewhere where that is, I don't know, and I put my hand up, I do not know. Maybe the Corraheen Showgrounds or whatever it is,
Yeah.
somewhere.
Well, that's what annoyed me. That's my point, is that like certain clubs were coming out this week and kind of saying, you know, throwing their ties out of pram, and rightly so. But my point is, what have those clubs been doing for the last umpteen years? You know, like you're relying on somebody else's track to help you. You know, and we're talking about some big clubs here. So look, I think we let it at that because we might battle a few feathers, but it should have never come to this, you know.
No, it should not
Yeah.
have. But look, fingers crossed, all goes well, and we'll have two tracks again soon enough. And maybe this might be the catalyst to make a bit of change within Cork Athletics as
Well,
well.
by the sounds of it, we're going to have three, four, five tracks because Bandon, obviously, and we'll talk about that later on in the break. Bandon, there's talks of another full track in Mallow. I see Cork Division are pushing a track as well. So there's a lot going on. But again, like you look around the country, there's some Trojan work being done by clubs in the last couple of years there. So the more facilities we have, the more chance we have producing winners and Olympians and things like that, you know. So,
Yep, exactly. Right.
yep.
World Athletics, World Cross Country Championships have been team has been announced for Belgrade in Serbia on the 13th of March. On the 30th of March, sorry, beg pardon. Under 20 women's, Anna Gardner and Kirsty Maher are selected. Under 20 men's is Harry Coward and Seamus Robinson. Senior ladies is Danielle Dedigan and Fiona Everard. In said Bandon club as well from Ferrester, which is delighted. And then senior men is Bascas, Hugh Armstrong and Keelan Kilroy as well are selected for the team. So best of luck to all them for the for, you know, to get to represent Ireland in a world cross country championship is an unbelievable honour, and we look forward to watching that and keeping an eye on the results.
Yeah, for sure. A bit of a long episode, and we have Anthony O'Brien coming up in the second half. Well, you know, fairness, Anthony was very giving of his time there, and we recorded earlier on Friday week or Friday night, sorry. So again, we'll come to that soon, but we'll move on now with the results section.
Imra, it was the Mount Clara in Mill Street. We will head to Max Hassett for her weekly report. And again, thanks, over to you, Max.
Max Hassett here from Imra Munster with the race report from Mount Clara Mill Street on Saturday, the 16th of March. This is the second race in the Fog and the Bog League, and it provided plenty of fog and bog. One description captures it nicely: great race, straight up, straight down, nothing fancy. 71 people registered, and the winners of the long course, 7 kilometres, elevation 340 metres, were female 1, Keely Tideswell, 2, Carl Finn, 3, Fair Reardon. Male 1, Finn Yore, 2, Henry Brown, 3, Killian Fleming. Special recognition for Fair Reardon and Finn Yore, just 15 and 16 years old, who ran a fantastic race. The winner of the short course was Martha Kelleher. Special thanks to RD Jeremy Kelleher and all the volunteers who braved the rain and gave us all a great race. The next Imra Munster race is Torquwood Killarney on Sunday the 24th of March. This is the sixth race in the Cuailte Winter Spring Trail League.
Thanks very much, Mags, again for that. And no surprise, with a couple of names, Keely and Carl, Breglers on it. More impressively was Keely, who on the Sunday, which we'll come to later on, runs again and sets a course record. Unbelievable form at the moment. Incredible running.
For quite a while now, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Going on now for
regular racing, yeah.
It's literally since we started this, we've been naming her constantly, and it's just incredible for her. So absolutely delighted for her. And well done to Finn Yor, from West Musgrave, who took the win and is actually a junior member as well, in the men's as well. So well done to everyone who took part in the Imra race this weekend.
Okay, and we'll keep moving. So we'll move to Lindy Norton next now, with everything up the east of the country. Lindy, we'll hand over to you now.
Hello, everyone. Performance of the weekend came from Rohini's Brian Fay, who finished less than 4 seconds off the Irish 10,000 metre record when clocking a time of 27:43.45 at the 10 track meet in California on Saturday. That time puts Fay second on the all-time Irish list behind Alistair Cragg, whose Irish record of 27:39.55 dates back to April 2007. But here's the rub. Race winner was Faye's Nike teammate Grant Fisher in 26:52.04. Faye finished 22nd. In another of the 10K races on offer, Peter Lynch of Kilkenny City Harriers finished 5th in a time of 27:49.30, with Ephraim Gidey of Clonliffe Harriers one place behind in 27:53.14. Both times were personal bests. Still in the USA, the large roster of Irish athletes at Providence College had travelled south to Orlando, Florida, where they dominated the low-key black and gold meet on Friday. Comfortably winning the men's 5,000 metres was Denor's Abdel Lajil in a personal best 13:46.37. Of the women, Laura Mooney of Tullamore Harriers won the 5,000 metres in 16:22.86. In the UK and on the roads, Nick Griggs finished 4th in the elite race at the Podium 5K in Leicester on Saturday in a personal best 13:39. Two big 5K races took place on the Leinster roads on St Patrick's Day, with the faster times coming at the Streets of Portlaoise 5K, where Pierre Merchant of Dublin City Harriers was the winner in 14:24. Second in 14:42 was Dundrum South Dublin's Emmett Jennings, with Owen Everard of Kilkenny City Harriers third. Pre-race favourite Amory McGlynn was the winner of the women's race in 16:19. The race was the opening round of this year's Peugeot Series, and defending team champions DSD began their title defence in some style, taking the team prize with just 38 points. DCH, new to the competition this year, were second on 80 points, while third with 155 points was St Albans. At the Talla 5K, Mitchell Byrne and Carla Sweeney made it a Rathfarnham WSAF double. Byrne pushed the pace from the start, with only Aaron Hanlon of Drogheda District attempting to stay with him. He finished in 15:02. Hanlon was 11 seconds behind for second. Sweeney finished first woman in 16:55, with Anya Cotter of Northeast Runners second in 17:08. Dunboyne's Peter Samba led home well over 1,000 finishers at the Mullingar Half Marathon, with his time of 16:24 putting him a full 3 minutes clear of Andrew Nevin from Mullingar Harriers, who finished second in 72:28. Rohini master athlete Fiona Stack was first woman in 81:26. Further afield, at the St Patrick's Day Tubbercurry 10K in County Sligo, Ballina's Hugh Armstrong battled wind and rain to win the race in 29:41, just 8 seconds off Andrew Coscorin's course record of last year. Finally, on Bank Holiday Monday, today, Rohini's Mick Cloughesy made a welcome return to racing with a clear win in a time of 32:24 at the Skerries 10K. And that's it for this week, folks.
Okay, thanks a million again for Lindy there. And of course, just one race there that we were talking about ourselves, but ourselves, the Mullingar Half Marathon, which had an incredible 1688 on St. Patrick's Day, so well done to them. Also, we're going to shout out for the Tally SC, which was one of our featured fixtures. So again, well done to everybody who got behind that race and hosted it. And again, a great attendance with 483 finishers there. So well done to everybody involved with Tally SC. And of course, the Peugeot pop-up race series kicked off today as well. We're recording on Sunday, the 17th of March, Paddy, today. And a great start to that race series with the Streets of Portlaoise 5K again. As Brian had mentioned to us, it finishes on the Patrick's Day parade streets as well. So 862 finishers there. And well done again to everybody who took part in that one. Two
Some
former guests, actually, wasn't it? Two
two
former
former
guests.
guests at the podium,
Yeah.
and some that's the finishing times were very, very impressive as well. So well done to everybody who took part in all them races. Now, the Kilchealeen 10 mile road race was on as well today, which we've mentioned this lady's name already. Keely Sizewell, this from Clonmel SC, runs a new course record after winning the Imre race the day before. And Keely ran 1 hour and 33 seconds to take the win. And a name we've never mentioned before, Michelle Kenny from Leeville AC, took second place in 1:03:49, with Eileen McCallan from Turles Crokes in 1:07:06 in third place. Now the men's race, Brian.
Yeah.
So men's race. So I have you've seen this, I think, but
I've
Sean
seen this,
Tobin
yeah.
from Clonmel AC, at a time of 51:37, took the course record. In second, William Mansell from Clonmel AC, at a time of 51:37, took the course record.
Is he second or joined first?
That I would presume in my head, this I didn't have a clue. I'm like, the two
Yeah.
lads obviously were doing it as a hard
I think
session.
this is the second time, is it? Didn't we call out the results a couple of weeks ago and the two of them had the same time again?
Yeah,
Maybe I might have
done the
dreamed.
run and literally
Yeah.
turned to each other and said, "Look, let's split the difference." I said the two first and second prize, and we'd split it, and we'd be happy out, and we'd off, we go home. So I don't know. Maybe I that's just in my head. They had a massive gap to third place, which was Michael Hurley from North Cork AC, who ran 56:04. So some
Yeah, another
incredible.
former guest, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Some incredible running by the two lads, like 51:37, the two of them together. And we saw the picture of them side by side.
Crossing the
So,
line, yeah, it was incredible.
yeah.
Again, that was a Tipperary. Good to see Michelle Kenny back there again. I know Michelle had a bit of an injury there at the John Tracy Dungarvan 10, so hadn't seen, heard her name for a few weeks if you were wondering why it wasn't called out, but great to see her back again. And of course, Michelle is a former guest, and Michael Hurley was a former guest as well. So, well done, guys. Good to see you out there again.
Right. So with that, we are going to move to our featured fixtures, and then we're going to have our interview after that.
Right, with that, we better move to our featured fixtures. So, again, these are the fixtures or the competitions that we have every week. So, first up there is the Peugeot Race Series. So, already race one has got underway today. But not far to wait for the second race. So the second race is the Streets of Kilkenny 5K, and that's on March the 28th, which is not too far away at all. The course records there is Andrew Coscar with 14:14 and Eileen Donald with 15:48. So it's a very fast course. And again, check out popupraces.ie for the full race series there. But again, the next one up is the Streets of Kilkenny on March 28th.
Yeah, the next race then is the Mallow 10 mile road race, which is on the 24th of March. Look, we've said everything we need to say about this race because it's just such popular. I know they were running low on entries, as in they were nearly sold out. They could be sold out by next day or two. So if you are, get on it right now because it's going to sell out. Very popular race, very good race. Just all good things to say about this race.
And do you know what? I know, like, it's all for me, it's always a sign that the weather seems, I don't know, they always seem to get a good day there as well. It's like a turn in the clocks and all this type of thing. And I'm running it obviously next week. I'm going to actually do it as part of my long run. So I'm going to be really happy to be running with loads of company next week in Valois. So looking forward to that one myself. Next up, again, a race that we've been talking about for a long time, but I think it's, as we said, like, it's going to be, I'm expecting a very big attendance at this one because I'm hearing other people talking about, work colleagues talking about and everything. So it's the Killarney Valley 5 mile, and that takes place on Good Friday, March 29th at 6 p.m. And as many people are saying, it'd be a good night out in Killarney afterwards. So I'm sure they'll get a big attendance. But again, there's still entries available. So that's the Killarney Valley AC, Streets of Killarney, 5 Mile Road Race, Good Friday, the 29th of March at 6 p.m.
Yeah, and the next one is Michael Rayner, 10 Mile Race held by Dunoan AC. So this is held in memory of Michael Rayner. So that's on Sunday the 14th. So it starts in the stunning Limerick Racecourse and will take in, you know, plenty of areas around Limerick. So fast course. So you're rushing then back to Limerick Racecourse, so you're going to feel like a horse for the day.
And obviously, I think a lot of people use that race in preparation for the actual Limerick Marathon as well, and the Limerick Half Marathon. So good build up for that one. So yeah. Good prize money there as well. So
yeah,
make sure
very
to
good
that.
Prize money. Yeah, yeah. So make sure you go to that.
Yeah, another huge race, and we've been talking about this as well. And it's now, as we said last week, actually been confirmed as the Cork County Championship race as well. So it's the Ballintodes 4 Mile Road Race that takes place in East Cork on Thursday, the April 18th at 8 p.m. Evening race, but attracts runners from all over the country. Actually, in fairness, as always, big attendance here, well over 1,000 runners, and I expect it to be bigger again this year with the Cork County Championships included. So that was it last year, there was 1,240, I think. They've got up to that anyway, well over 1,000 runners on a Thursday evening. So
no, it was a few years ago was that, but
yeah,
like that was 2019 pre-COVID, but you know, I expect big numbers again this year for it.
Yeah. And look, again, I'm hoping to get there. I'm not too sure if I'll be running it, but I've been told like it's a race you just have to go to. You know, it's ticks all the boxes. So we'll keep an eye out for that one. But again, I'd encourage people to support that race.
Yeah. And then we have the Bandon AC 5K, raising funds for a 400-meter track.
I told you we'd come to it later on. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Exactly what we need. So this is going to be, we'll look, 400-meter tracks are needed in every area that's possibly can get. So if anybody can please get down to the Bandon to help them to achieve their goal of getting this 400 meter track, it would be incredible. So this is on Thursday, April the 25th, at 7:30 p.m. €15 to enter. So make sure you get down there and obviously head to Eventmaster to sign up.
Yep. And finally, in terms of our featured fixtures and the races we're calling out, we have the Rebel Diamond Series. So again, race one has already taken place. That was the Mount Hilary AC 5 mile on the 10th of March. But next up is the Drumahan 5K, and that takes place on the 20th of April. So again, another great race there. And the wheels are rolling on this. You know, there was a huge attendance in Mount Hilary, and it's expected to continue that way now. So the Drumahan 5K is on the 20th of April. The Queen 5K is on the 12th of May. Another race that's trying to raise funds to build a track, not a 400 but a 200 meter track, which would be massive in this area as well, not just for Boeing but for all those clubs that are involved in this series as well and more. So that's on the 12th of May. I'd encourage everybody to support that one, obviously. And the Buttevant 4 miler is the last race then, and that's on the 17th of May. Something we realized actually last week, anyone who completes the series gets a cup, a mug, whatever you want to call it, a kind of a memento. So right now there is like 345 people completed it. And throwing the stewards, because we said any stewards from their own race would be entered, obviously, because they won't be running in their own race. So we could have well over 400 cups at the moment. So it'd be interesting to see, will it stay at that level?
Yeah.
So to be confirmed.
Rumour has it, we will have the race director from the Breen 5K on in the coming weeks to give us a lowdown on that race. So
be good to get him on it.
I'm looking forward to hearing about that one.
Yeah.
Right. That's our feature fixtures again. Thank you all the clubs who've got in contact with us. If any club wishes to get in contact, please just give us an email or drop us a message on any of our social media channels, and we will be very happy to add you to feature fixtures. With that, it's interview time. Right? Shoe Rescue. All right? They're godsends with this about the rain and this amount of everything.
Oh, yeah,
I tell you this much,
yeah.
Right?
Never been so handy, actually.
No. So, again, get out. Get to Amazon, get to Common Sports, get to the Edge Sports, probably get to John Buckley's, get to Run Hub, get to whatever shops in Galway, get to Belfast, get into your local store and get yourself a tub of Shoe Rescue. It's going to last 6 months, roughly about 6 months, I'd say. It's going to last you. It's a no-brainer. It's about $11.85 is what it should be in around that, depending on the store. Get it. They've been a massive supporter for us. And, you know, with all our supporters, we really encourage people to get out and just actually help them. Like, this is made I probably ran past the factory today down in Middleton at some stage down there. You know, it's made
Lake
in Cork.
Bodylite, another Irish company,
Yeah, exactly. So get out, support them, please. Support our supporters, because it means an awful lot.
And I'd say one other thing, and I know we've said this before, but we probably haven't said before. We have been contacted by other companies and other gear suppliers and things like that, and we will only talk about people who we know we can stand over and back, because we wouldn't like to put our followers wrong. And this is certainly not a product that we have no problem in backing whatsoever.
100%. 100%. Right. Anthony
Thank you.
O'Brien. So, Anthony O'Brien, fresh off his 2:22 in Seville in his debut marathon. We sit down for about an hour and have a chat with him. So, you know, we go through his triathlon career, which is obviously he's come from. We kind of chop and change between Seville, and there's a few questions in there and everything like that. Really enjoyable chat. And Anthony was really generous with his time. So sit back, enjoy it, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Okay, so this week's podcast, we're delighted to welcome Anthony O'Brien to the show. Anthony, welcome on board.
Thank you. Good to
Brilliant
be
to,
here.
yeah, brilliant to have you on. Someone that's rocketed to fame, I think, over the last couple of weeks since your Seville marathon. I've been doing a lot of research on you over the last couple of days. Obviously, you're well known within the tri world and the Ironman world and all that. It's actually amazing, when people were talking about the Seville marathon, your debut, where did this guy come from? But obviously, you have a lot of background, but we'll get into that in a minute. But we're going to start off with our rapid fire, not so rapid fire question round.
Right.
So,
It's our rapid fire. All right. It's our not so
I'll do
rapid
my
fire
best at
question.
this.
Okay.
I'll do my
Great.
best at this.
Okay. Brian, do you want to go first?
Well, I put in a new one this week because with Anthony's background. So I'm going to say marathon or triathlon.
Marathon.
Okay,
Oh,
there you
okay.
go.
Interesting.
You've upset a lot of people
As
straight
of
away.
now, as of right now, yeah, marathon, yeah. Okay, interesting. All right. So would you prefer training on the road, treadmill, trail, or track? Track's a hard session. Phoenix Park's a great buzz every Saturday morning. Track.
Sure.
We go with the track, yeah.
You do a bit
But
on everything,
okay.
though, don't you?
The
You do a
track's the
bit.
type of session. The track is the type of session that you go to bed nervous about it and you wake up nervous about it.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
And especially the big one, like a lot of the ones you probably do are a lot. They're not like, 2 or 3 miles, of work. You're like, I remember Brian would remember back, like we used to do 20 miles in the track in sessions, you know what I mean? And you'd be there shitting bricks the day before it,
Yeah,
like.
not that heavy. They are heavy.
Your
Okay,
and we have a
track.
few
So
we have a few questions about this one, but your favorite shoe brand?
Nike, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And we have
Big
questions about that, but
time.
we'll come on to that
My whole
after.
clothing brand. I haven't bought any other label in a long time. My whole wardrobe
Okay.
is Nike.
Okay, good. Good, good.
Yeah.
Miles or kilometers?
Kilometers. But I
Triathlete,
want
of
to kind of
course.
start learning miles because I'm around a load of lads now, and I was even thinking about changing the watch over there recently enough just to fully commit to it. But yeah, kilometers is what I'm going in. Because it's always K pace. Always K pace for me.
We're miles men, but
We're miles. I couldn't
sometimes it's an
convert at all. I
age.
just can't convert yet.
Okay, who's the most? This is a might be a strange one, but I'd say you'll have someone. But who's the most famous person in your phone contact list, and famous to you, as we keep
I
saying?
don't have any famous people. I don't know any famous people. Most famous people.
Gary
Well,
O'Hanlon,
I can tell you what. I was just about to
surely.
say, your coach is.
Gary O'Hanlon. Yeah,
There
Gary
you go.
O'Hanlon. Like, that's it. Yeah.
Simon Nolan would probably
Yeah.
claim to be famous as well. Like, so.
Yeah.
We'll go with Gary.
No,
So,
Gary O'Hanlon would be the most famous person. Yeah. Gary's pretty famous.
yeah,
I'm telling you.
he's not, and Gary's number three in our all-time listen to podcast that he was on when he was on on the show. So he's number
I need
three.
to listen to that one. Do you
So
know what? I need to pull that one and listen to
so
it.
he get another listen there off that one. So,
and you need to beat his numbers as well. So there you go. That's a challenge.
You're okay. This one, I think I'm going to know the answer. Favorite
Yeah.
distance? Your favorite
Favorite
distance.
distance. Like, look, right, I'm fresh to the marathon and I absolutely love it.
And what was
But
your favorite
I am
distance in
looking at
triathlon, Anthony?
half Ironmans are
Okay,
great.
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Poles are a long day at the office, but halves are, you can race a half really.
Your
Yeah.
favorite race, this could be anything. It does, obviously, you have,
Every race I've ever done? Yeah. Marbella 70.3. I
Okay.
think so. That was a lot of fun.
Good.
Very fast on the bike. Yeah.
Excellent.
For training in hot or cold weather.
Oh, wait a minute. This is miserable these last few months here in
Yeah,
Long Beach. It's been non-stop wind and rain.
I'd agree with you
It's
there.
been brutal.
Are you a morning or evening runner?
Morning. Yeah, no, morning. It used to be evening, but all these heads are always up at 7:30 in the morning. I'm in Phoenix Park, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the best time to run it though.
It
Right,
is.
the three last questions are always the kind of the one that get people thinking. So, first one, three
Right.
people you would like to have a meal with, dead or alive. You're not dead or alive, they're dead or they can be dead or alive. Did you sit down and have a meal or a drink with?
Do I have to pick three? Can I pick one?
You can pick one.
Right, so I seen this question before on it was like it was a thing, dead or alive person, and I always thought to myself, nobody's ever picking Bob Marley. And I would love to chill with Bob Marley over a dinner.
Excellent.
That'd be
Well,
good one.
that is a good one. We've had some fascinating, like Einstein, we had people
Well,
sitting down with Einstein.
last week we had a combination of Albert Einstein and Michael Jackson at the same meal, and I think that was
Yeah, a lot of people say Michael Jackson. A lot of people say Michael Jackson, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay, next one. A favorite book or movie?
Favorite book or movie? Do you know what? I'm not a big reader, right?
Yeah.
Movie. Favorite movie. One that jumps out to me is My Cousin Vinny
Okay.
with Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
I
Oh, yeah.
remember watching that as a kid and it always made me laugh. And every now and again, I go
It's a
back
good
and
one.
watch it. It's a bit of a
Yeah,
cracker.
it's
Yeah.
funny. Right, the last one. So, if
Yeah.
you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, who would it be and why?
Yeah, so look, I come from a boxing background, yeah. And I watch a lot of boxing still mad passionate about boxing, so I would definitely be coming from a fighter. I would say favorite fighter was like Floyd Mayweather, because he was like, when I came onto the scene, he was flashy, top of the range. I'd have to pick a moment from the highlight of his career. Don't really know. I think the turning point in his career where he really became the famous person was beating De La Hoya, but that doesn't really appeal to me.
No, because I think he'd bigger fights than that before that.
He did have bigger fights, but that was the real
Yeah, that
launch
was,
to
yeah.
he took over then. You know what? Right? Another one of my favourite fighters is McGregor.
I was just about to say, you've got
And
to
McGregor sticking Aldo out in 9 seconds will be a moment to live with, say, yeah. That'd be a cracker.
I myself and Brian were saying there's a very McGregor feel about yourself, even, you know, with some of your
That's
videos.
just the Dublin buzz. That's just
Dublin.
the Dublin thing, yeah.
Right, that's
Right,
our questions out of the
into
way.
the
Yeah, yeah.
nitty-gritty.
So you mentioned it there, obviously, and again, look. What I found amazing is when I kind of listened back there over, you know, and read up a bit about you as well, and following you myself for the last few weeks is like, you know, where did this guy come from and all that? But obviously, you're well known within the triathlete world and the Ironman world, and as you mentioned there, your boxing, you know, you had a soccer career as well, I think, before, like, you know, you've done a bit of everything.
Yeah,
So, do you want to
yeah.
take us through your earlier years, just, you know, your journey
Yeah,
to the journey to Sevilla is
I'll
phenomenal,
brush
like,
through it.
yeah.
Yeah, I'll brush through it. So, like, obviously, I played football at a young age, the way anybody's dad would bring them to play football from the age of like six to wherever. Tapped into boxing at about 14, 15, went down to a boxing club on my own, ended up in that, had to make the decision then to pick one of the, like, I was doing the two, but to pick one of the two, and then I went to boxing at about 15. Boxing was the first proper training. I really feel like it was totally different. You know, it was like, yeah, it's just totally different training. It's not a team anymore. Although you're in a club and all, it's just you. We are learning the discipline of boxing, cutting weight, all that carry on. So that really started to channel me into
And
like
Anthony, sorry as well.
sport.
I think boxing it's one sport, but I think the training is absolutely just brutally hard at times. When you see the training, the lads be like, we've a couple of boxing clubs around us, and you see the lads out, and you see them, you know, some of the sparring. It's just like, holy crap! I said I'd actually love to do it, but not the fighting part because I would be killed. But the training is
Yeah.
just incredible for it.
Training's brilliant. But also, just there, what came to my mind is like when you go down to a boxing club and you're on a football team, it's you and your same age group. Yeah. And when you go down to a boxing club, there's lads that are older than you, there's men that are there. Everybody's training, you're looking up to older blokes a lot. Do you know what I mean? There was that. Boxing I absolutely loved, and I boxed for probably 4 or 5 years and got handy. I took to it well. Was half decent, and then started fell out of boxing then at about 19, 20, and then ended up just kind of staying in shape through lifting weights and doing a little bit of running. I've done a lot of road running as a boxer. I would always go out and do big runs. I mentioned this in a podcast I was on a little while ago, but I would always go off and do big runs. I didn't know what the actual distance was. I wouldn't know the pace I was doing, but now what I know, I was definitely running somewhere around threshold for an hour, definitely, because I was always like at that feeling where you're pushing. You know that one?
But that's because you don't know. We don't know that. Like, I think everyone starts nearly running down where it's like, I just need to get this done as fast as I can. And you think
You're
that's
running to what you
training.
can bear. You're running to what you can bear. So it was a 15K run. There was no way I was doing it in quicker than an hour then. But anyway, so yeah, I stayed in shape through a bit of running and doing weights a lot. Done a lot of weights. I think that's why the muscle isn't kind of leaving me now. Years of overloading the muscles with dumbbells and bench presses, and that's why it's not going anywhere. Like, I haven't lifted weights in 5, 6 years, and it's just not going anywhere. Do you know what I mean? But then yeah. Got into triathlon then, I think. I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but got into that through two of the lads, Jared and Mick. They were doing it. Jumped on the bandwagon with them. Went at that for probably 3, 4 years. 3, 4 years heavy. First 2 years didn't really know what I was doing. Learned a lot by just paying attention, being like strung out on it. And then done half decent, took on the national series probably. Done 2 full seasons of the national series, one last year, one the year before, and done well. Do you know what I mean? Made a bit of a name for myself like that, going around just showing up and having a dice off a load of the lads. And then that brings me up to like Seville. I started training for Seville in the end of October,
But
and
like
then
just before
that's
we
where we
come,
are now.
just before we come, like, so you were
That was a
obviously,
quick brush now. That was a real quick brush. There was no in depth there, but like I just blitzed that there.
I know, but like I'm just saying, from your triathlete background and your like, you were quite accomplished. You won a lot of awards. You won races. It wasn't the case that you just turned up at Seville. You obviously had a pedigree, coming into the
Yeah, like,
marathon
look,
trail.
this is the thing. I got into triathlon an absolute novice, and me swimming didn't get much better between the start and between when I started and now. Do you know what I mean? But I was managed to pull a decent bike leg together, and the running, I was decent at running. Like, for some reason, I don't know, I was decent at running. I was a better runner out of the three, and like that, just yeah, do you know what I mean? It was just a natural transition for me to eventually. I thought I was going to do Dublin at the end of the year and not Seville. So the plan was to do a full Ironman in August, right? And try and do a serious time. I was going to really apply myself there. I was looking for a bike and all. I was about to go all in. And then Gary just got onto me and goes, "Are you coming to Seville?" And I was like, "Fuck, I'll get the marathon out of the way at the start of the year, and then I'll go back to Ironman." And now I'm not looking back at all. I'm just like.
And how did your relationship with Gary start? Where did that come from?
That started. I got brought into the Phoenix Park group by a mate of mine who was a triathlete, Nathan. He brought me in, started running with them. Met Gary one morning in there, done a few runs with him. And Ian Fitzgerald, he was training for Berlin, so I was doing a lot of work with Ian. Ian was ringing me twice a week to do a run with him because he knew I was getting bought and he could rely on me. So I was seeing him on a Tuesday and a Saturday. And then Ian went to Berlin, and then Gary needed somebody, and Ian was like, "And Gary, I have Anto there. He's game ball. You meet you whenever you want." So Gary got me to meet him a couple of times, and then yeah, that was it. I was just a training partner with him for a few weeks, then leading in, and then after Dublin, he wasn't happy with his time, and he says, "I'm literally that night, I think it was, the like the night of Dublin Marathon." He said, "I'm gonna go to Seville coming," and I just says, "Yeah, fuck, I'll go."
I love the way that it's just how you fall into a training partner like with Gary O'Halloran, you
Gas,
know.
I know it was gas, and I didn't know who he was. Like, he stood in my car one day out of the rain, and I was like, "Who's this guy standing in my car?" Because I have a taxi and I have like a wheelchair accessible yoke in the back, so it's loads of space in it. And I'd get changed in there getting ready for the sessions, but he stood in. Do you know what I mean? I was looking at him saying, "Who's this guy?" And then it turns out, yeah, it was Gary.
And I think that's fascinating because, like, you know,
Yeah, go.
your explosion into the running world is a bit like, you know, and people are saying like, who's this guy Anthony? And I saw a few videos, and I saw one training session you did with Gary, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But likewise, the other way around, where Gary's such a good runner, but probably not known too well in the triathlete world, and you obviously demonstrate that you didn't know who
Some
he
of the
was.
staunch triathletes, knew who he was, because when they seen me running with him, they said, "Stay with him. He's unreal." And I was just learning who he was on the go.
Unbelievable. So you surround yourself with good training partners. So
Yeah. Look, Gary's legit. Vast amounts of knowledge. He's been giving me game loads. Even just, I'll tell you about running the marathon with him when we get to it. But he's so knowledgeable on sport in general. Like he follows a lot of sport, even boxing. So knowledgeable. Like, and he'd be like, I remember after the race, he was schooling me on. I didn't know anything about 1500 meter run. Didn't know anything about it. And now I'm only realizing now I'm watching 1500 meter races, because that's the pinnacle of running. Like, is what I'm being told. You know, it's like these are the fastest, strongest athletes out there.
So
And yeah.
is there a track in the future? So is there once you get another marathon or
I
whatnot?
don't know. Like that's a question that I would love to know. Like, can you pull back speed? Because like them boys are quick. They're running through 1500 meters, 217 pace or something. Do you know what I mean? Like they're flat out. It's
And
the quality.
when Gary said to you about Seville and you were in as well, like what were your thoughts then? Like, is it a case of I can go over there and run and maybe run quite a decent time, or like were you straight out attacking it saying, okay, I'm going here, I'm going to go for a low 220, you know?
Yeah, he said when he rang me that day and asked me to do it, he said 222. And I was like, if I'm going that close to 220, I'm going for 220. That's what I thought in my head. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I'm not going that close. I'm not going to try and do it. So I was constantly thinking 220 in my head. And then Gary, as we got closer to it, we done that 228 in training. And then as we got closer to it, Gary said something about 220. He started pulling me back a little bit, trying to take minutes off me and talk me into a 224 and 226. But I think he was just, as he says, he didn't want me to get too ahead of myself. And if it wasn't for him on the day, I fucking would have got too ahead of myself. He spent 21K trying to tell me to chill out. You know, like I was constantly trying to get to the front. And I try, like I remember at the very start of the race, right? I seen the lads who were going for 220. I seen the group of them. They made like they went off at a quicker pace than us, and I knew there and then. I was like, "That's the group who I like. That's the group who I should be with if I'm going to do that." And he said quite. He said, "Look, straight away." He said, "Ando, relax, pull back. There are about 5K in here, chill out." And yeah, it was a great bus, great bus.
Do you think the triathlon has kind of helped, you know, like as in I always think with a lot of with the especially cycling and a lot even the swimming, your lung capacity just gets a little bit more and more and more. I know you didn't do triathlon for 10, 15 years, so it's not that, but you think that has definitely helped you in with your running?
Yeah, it's definitely helped me. Just them long, just look, it's all about training. It's all about training hours. Like, I was only thinking about this the other day when I was out on the bike. I spent a whole lot of COVID cycling aerobically, 500K a week with a bloke and a Walsh. And that built an engine in me, you know? You're going around doing like just aerobic work hours upon hours upon hours. And then I remember when I got into the duathlons, that real rawness of just going to the mat, like going slow out, that got me used to when I pulled back then to slower speeds. Well, what you would call slower, they were just all of a sudden easier. You know, it was like that perfect mix of real high intensity, real low intensity. When it did gel, I was able to just handle like 3:40s, 3:30 kilometers for big long reps. And anyway, it kind of just came to me naturally, like not naturally, but the work was kind of done, yeah.
Anthony, we got more questions in for you than anybody we've ever actually had on, I think. And we
Yeah.
were great to, but there's a couple here that I might throw at you. There's two in particular about your training for Seville, and I think they're similar type questions. So I'll ask, like Simon Nolan sent one in saying, what was your toughest long run on the build up to Seville Marathon and why was it so tough? And Dolores Duffy also asked, I think it's the same type of question. Why did he do a full marathon in the training run a few weeks before with Gary O'Hanlon in the Phoenix Park? Was it planned or was it spontaneous? I don't know if that relates to the same session, maybe,
Yeah,
but.
I can give you an answer to both of them. So Simon, the toughest run I done was the day Simon showed up, right? So the day Simon showed up, because Simon's down in Cork, but he came up to us to do a run that day, and I had a problem with my knee that day for the first time, and I didn't know what it was, and it came on. I remember doing foam rolling outside Gary's house, and I was only at the meeting, so foam rolling outside Gary's house, trying to loosen up the IT band, and we ran 35K that day, and the last 3 or 4K of it were flat out. And Simon was solid that day, very, very solid. He was actually more solid than me, but I completely neglected nutrition that day because me brain was on the injury, the niggle. I just completely didn't take the gels on, didn't take anything on. All I was worrying about was that leg. And I remember at the end of that, I was broke. And Simon was like, he was at having the time of his life. He felt great during it, coming up to the park, motoring around with the lads. And then I was in a jock, and I just remember being like, oh, for fuck's sake. That was one of the hardest days. And then Flora Duffy said, was the, oh, what was that girl's name?
Dolores Duffy,
Dolores.
yeah. She
The
trained with
last of
Gary as
it.
well, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so she said, did I do the marathon on purpose? Yeah, look, Gary told me at the start of it, he said, you'll do 2:26 in training. And that stuck with me at the very start of the block. And that was something that I wanted to do. When he said that to me, that was something that I wanted to do also. It was like, yeah, I just, he's journeying. Like when he said 2:26 in training, that sounded legit to me. So I was like, well, I definitely want to make sure we do that. Now we went 2:28, but still.
That you'll take that, I think. You'll take that.
Take
I it was
take
was
it.
a question there for Simon, because I slag Simon quite a bit. With was Simon wearing his top that day? Because he has a tendency of running down the roads here, down in down by Bandon with no top on. His
So no
wife in the car behind with the baby
Yeah, so I would be known for doing a lot of that topless running as well. So I'd fall into the same category as Simon there, so I can't slag him. But
driving.
yeah, no, it was the middle of midwinter. He was wrapped up in his Sea Sky gear, yeah.
Yeah.
We got another
Yeah.
question in from a Sean Murphy, just talking about your weekly mileage and how much cross training you actually do. You know,
Yeah.
obviously it's a big part of your background, but yeah, do you want to take us through that
Yeah.
maybe?
So weekly mileage wasn't that spectacular. It was like 110, 120, 130 maybe a couple of weeks. I look back and my biggest week was 156,
Hey, people, by just in case,
and
K, he's talking about K,
yeah. Yeah,
just in case there's some
K's.
people here with
Yeah.
minds going, holy shit.
156, and I done 70, those 70K that on a treadmill, because it was just that week where we had a washout and I just chose to stay indoors for it. That was my biggest week. But now nothing mad crazy compared to what the lads do be doing. Like the proper lads.
That's okay. And so you run a tr Damien has a huge problem with people running on a treadmill. So I'm glad you turned that in there. No, that's good. It all counts, doesn't
Yeah.
it? It all counts.
Look, you know it yeah. Look,
Sorry, no,
do you know
Brian.
what Wrexham hit about it? No, you
Sorry,
go.
I'll cut across you there for a second, right?
No,
I
go
don't have
for
a
you.
problem. I don't have a problem with treadmills, all right? I have a problem with Brian using a treadmill
Just me.
during a 31-day challenge. That's all.
Oh yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
The thing I don't like about the treadmill is for some reason my watch doesn't log the miles. So like when I'm on the treadmill, I just take the watch off, stick it around the treadmill, like the arm of the treadmill, and just leave the heart rate on, and I just try and stay in a zone. But I also find that yeah, probably 10 beats lower on a treadmill for the effort that you feel like it's sticking out. Do you ever get that?
Yeah. Some sweat on a treadmill, though.
Yeah, no, there is. Yeah.
The your job then as well, you work as a taxi driver. How does that, sitting down a lot all day long, is that a problem for you, or how do you come around that?
No, I'm out of the car. Like I would get out of the car near almost every job. I'm literally only at the change of my schedule there. So I was just doing airports. I was literally just doing an airport. I was an airport shuttle service there without even knowing. I was just doing airports. And then recently after Seville, I went on to, I'm doing evenings now. So I'm starting at like 3 in the day. And now I feel like I'm a taxi driver again. Do you know what I mean? The last while I was just like, people get in the morning, say absolutely nothing to you. They're just going to the airport at 3, 4 in the morning, whereas now you're getting in and people are having the yak in the middle of the day, and I'm back to this now. It's a bit of a buzz. I'm having a bit of crack with it the last couple of weeks, yeah.
Good,
And
good,
I
good.
suppose what, just every taxi man gets this. How was your busy day? What time you finished that? Would you control your hours? Would you always be the same every day? And therefore, you
So,
can consistently have your training at a certain time every
yeah.
day.
So the main reason I got the texture was so I could do it, so I could work me on schedule around training. That was the main reason. But the yeah, so like at the moment now, I'm really trying to be structured. I really want that. I want to be as organized and structured as I can around the training. And with the texture, it just allows me to completely do it. Yeah, it just works perfect for me at the moment.
Very good. We've got two other questions, and actually, well, we've got a lot more, but the lower stuff. He came back and we had a second question, actually, and we have a question from Timmy O'Donnell as well about runners. So, the lower stuff is the AF3s you wore, are they your favourite shoe? And Timmy O'Donnell says, how do you rate the new version of the Alpha Fly versus the previous versions?
Yeah, so I'm only wearing Alphaflies.
Yeah.
I went back to a pair of Vapors there because they hadn't got the Alphaflies and I needed a training shoe and Lifestyle just happened to have them. But if I'm doing a marathon, I'm definitely doing it in an Alphafly, and them new trees are they're shocking. I didn't do I you know what, Gary done more in them than me before the race. Gary would so me and Simon had them and Gary didn't, he was free. But Gary put them on in the gaff and he was running up and down the hall and I was like, Gary, what are you doing? Come, will you give me my shoes? Do you know what I mean? I don't want the kilometer done in these. I don't want that done in these. Do you know what I mean? And we had a bit of crack about it, but when I put them on that morning off, they were just like part of your body. They were like socks. They were that snug on you. There was no movement. They were top of the range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
And then
because
how do I rate them compared to the other ones?
yeah.
So the other ones, a lot of people are saying this to me that the ones are better than the twos and all this carry on. I can't vouch for that. But I would like to have a pair of the ones for training and then see what they're like.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like I do think obviously yourself at the moment you would wish, I know as you said, it's not a massive training load. It's still a high enough training load for a lot of people. Like, and then you're working. What would your recovery be like after these? Like, would you spend time now in recovery boots and chill out at home before you go to work and, ice baths and all that shit? Or would you just be
Yeah.
more, just run, eat properly and off you go?
No, I would definitely have some sort of I would get stuck into my recovery as much as I can. I am a member of Westwood Gym down there. They have a full spa area, sauna, steam room, ice bath, the lot. So I'd be down there regularly enough, probably 3, 4 times a week. And then I would stretch and I'd foam roll and I'd use the massage gun and my physio, Tom Griffin, he looks after me big time. I go to him once a week, so I am on that, and I do eat the right amount of protein, drink, make sure I'm always hydrated, I'm taking vitamins, minerals, I am trying to be on top of all of that. But what I find is when I ask the runners who I look up to, they're just like, ah, do you know what I mean? It's like they're not counting their protein grams around like that, do you
Yeah,
know what I mean? I was only
no.
saying to one of them the other day, I was like, and how much are you going to eat? And he was like, I'm just going to go home and have a few spuds and a bit of chicken, and I was like, I'm like anal with it, you know what I mean? I'm like taking notes and all.
Yeah, no, but
Yeah.
majority of runners and like a good few, like a few that we would know as well, it's none of us like would count calories or, and I'm talking even some of
I know.
the lads who are, again, 212 and 213 runners and stuff like that, and they're like,
I know.
I'll eat a feckin' pizza, do you know what I mean? I don't
Yeah,
care
I
because
know.
I'm going to burn it all off, so it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah,
Exactly.
I know.
The we got another one in a couple in again, and I think we just need to go back to the Seville. So obviously your Seville went like incredible to watch it, and you got a lot of footage. In fairness, I was watching it. I was like
Mad.
saying, "Who's this guy out the
We didn't
front
know
with
that
the
was going to
whip?"
happen. We
Exactly.
didn't know that. We didn't like. We knew the telly was going to be there, but we didn't plan on that happening.
You certainly got a lot of footage, but take us through your strategy that day because a few questions came in. Again, I'll mention the names because, in fairness, people asked the question. So we had Barry Finnegan, who asked again about the gel strategy you used on the day, what brand did you use, and how did it go for you?
Yeah, so I give you the nutrition plan, right? So I did practice this. So I recently got on with Precision Hydration and Peak Sports. George Sherwood, he got me on board. Fair play though. So I've been using their stuff since being in triathlon. I was always using their salts because I'm a heavy sweater. So I went down to George and done the sweat test with him, and I'm a heavy salty sweater. So I needed the high dose 1500. So I've been using that their product since then, which was like 2, 3 years ago. But at the Hole in the Wall, where we meet on a Saturday morning. There's a cafe on the other side of the wall, Dash, and he sells precision gels and all that products. So if I ever didn't, I just wait there till Saturday morning, just go in and get a coffee and get all my gels there and then. So I wouldn't have to worry about not having nutrition. So I've been using it and practicing it week in, week out. And what I done was, I had a 90 gram, you know the 90 gram pouches?
Very handy, so
Very handy,
handy. So I'll tell you what,
God, that's so handy. So the morning, the day before, even the week before, I would be using the salt tablets regularly with me water. I'd throw one in every couple of bottles or something, or every cup, one a day, one of them 1500, the tablets, yeah? So that's the week leading in. Then the day before, before I go to bed at night, I'm having one of them salt tablets. Wake up that morning, I would probably have, I don't know whether I had another one that morning, but I definitely had a 90 gram gel while we were getting the taxi down and hanging around. Then race started, I had a 90 gram in my hand and a caffeine gel in my hand. So I had them two, and I had two caffeine gels in my back pocket. And I had four sodium tablets in the blister pack in my front pocket. I took the caffeine gel 20 minutes in. I sipped away at the 90 gram then up till about an hour and 10 minutes in. Then I took another caffeine gel. And then all the while through this, I'm taking the salt tablets as I go through the water stations. And then at an hour and 36 minutes, I took that last caffeine gel. Or
Very
three caffeine
precise.
gels and that
An
90
hour
gram.
36.
It was, because that's what I was planning on doing, because I was thinking to myself, I was thinking, where am I going to make up? Because I was planning on, I forget the exact calculation, but I needed to make up, I forget what it was. I spent so much time planning this out and now I can't even remember. But I needed to make up a certain amount of time, and I needed to take that caffeine gel at an hour and 36 and then have a crack then. So that's why I knew I was taking that second one then at an hour and 36.
But like, in fairness, like, it's again, you had an unbelievable debut marathon, but so many people get the nutrition wrong, even experienced runners. So to have that nailed down and for it to be a success, like, says a lot as well in your planning, you know?
Yeah, like what messed me up was we didn't get much water on the course because it was in the paper cups, yeah. I mean, you're running flat out, it's hard to get it in. I got about two mouthfuls of water that whole race. And at the very end of the marathon, the last 2K running through the streets, the pressure on my stomach on the abs was just, it was just pure pressure. I felt like I was gonna puke, and I'm racing towards the finish line. I couldn't wait to get to the finish line. I wasn't in pain or not, but I just wanted to get there. Do you know what I mean? It was like, get me there now. And I'm chasing that board and your man. And then when I got there, when I came across the finish line, I got a breather, and then I got to my knees and puked. And I was talking to my mate, who was a boxer there the other day, and he was like, that was your core temperature gone through the roof because you didn't get any water on board. That, like, the whole race, I didn't get any. I got one sip of water for 42K. Whereas all them women on the pros, they all have that designated, they have eight stations where they can get a bottle.
That's right.
But I mean, that would be a massive benefit. Now, I'm not in that position to get them bottles in Hamburg. So I need to suss a plan for that. It's wrecking me head at the
Like,
moment.
even for that, for you, because, like, again, with and like, I know we're all, again, George would be good friends of the two of ours as well, and we'd be very close to George. And you know, I use them as a bit, but they have their carb drink as well, which, you know, that's something you can introduce then into your training, which will help that you're not taking them solid amount of gels constantly. Because I do think sometimes with the gels, you know, they can too many of them, you'll fill up your stomach, but at least you're replacing that with a carb drink and it's easier to take. So having that aid station is, or not the aid station, but the drink station for an athlete of 220 and two whatever, that is massive difference from.
Massive, massive. If I could go with the carb mix, I would over the gels.
You mentioned that they're, like, obviously, again, an unbelievable race in Seville, and you know, for some people they might have said never again or whatever, and I'm sure everybody does after their first, but no, you're thinking about Hamburg, is it?
Definitely. I kind of, Gary had said to me, even before we done Seville, he said, you should do a marathon, another marathon soon enough after this one. And then he was telling me to go back and chase the Ironman. But nah.
Got the bug.
Proper.
But I'd say as well, though, Anthony, though, the fact that like in an Ironman training, it's so much between the bike, the swimming, and the running. We're low, like even just time commitments, the marathon is just that so much easier.
It's so much easier compared to that Ironman stuff. And like that, you know what I love about marathon over Ironman? With the Ironman, it's like it's not like a pure perform. Like it's not like a pure as much as a performance race as the marathon is to me in any way, because you have to swim, but then not swim hard enough that you fuck up your bike, and then you have to bike, but not mess up your run leg. Whereas you get on the start line of a marathon, you're going at pace, and if you don't hold that pace for the whole thing, you don't get your time. It's pure performance.
I think there's going to be a fellow who's going to be quite disappointed. Niall, is it Niall Curran? Has
Now,
asked,
Conor.
yeah, Curran, that's it. Asked, when are you coming back to triathlon?
You might be happy.
Niall is a serious operator, and I tell you one thing, he has a serious marathon in him when he does go to it. A quality operator. He went under 15 by 5, under 15 by 5K. He beat me in the duathlon one year, dusted me. He's a serious swimmer, serious biker, serious runner. Went 2 minutes flat for 800 meters. I remember he told me that just before I even knew what an 800 meter race is. Now that I know 800 meters and I know what the lads do for 800 meters, his 2 minutes isn't as impressive as it once was. But Niall's a sound geezer. Yeah.
Do you reckon there's many guys out there like Niall who are probably concentrating on triathlons or Ironmans, but yet have a massive marathon in them, or like yourself when you crossed over?
Kieran Jackson, not a quality runner, quality all around athlete. Niall's a quality all around athlete. Another geezer that I raced. Do you know Colm Turner?
Oh, you know,
No,
yes,
Colm Turner.
I've heard of him. I don't know him personally, but yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever done a marathon, has he?
No.
I don't know if he has, but quality runner, and he was a runner before he went into triathlon, but. Loaded lads.
Should we have if you have if the brain, if you think of it like Dennis Hegarty, who's done here, Dennis has done very well.
Dennis is a good operator. Dennis is a good
Dennis
skier.
will do if he decides to go to the marathon properly, he will have a serious marathon.
He is surprisingly good. Like I remember when I laid eyes on him, I was like, he's an awfully big lump. How is he doing so fast? He's quality. He's fucking quality. Dennis is a good skier.
I had the joy of being Dennis Trainer's training partner for a good while, and there was a good group of us together, and Dennis was just different. He could just switch it on. It was just like, yeah, right, no, gone. Serious talent. And
He's done times that have impressed me. I remember looking through his Instagram and seeing him. I don't know what his half was, but did he do a 67 half?
He'd done that in Blarney. After a quick story, I won't go. I remember myself and Mark Smith were doing a session with him about 2 weeks before, and we left Dennis. Dennis came back and he's like, "Oh, feck it, lads, I'm gonna be fecked for the race." And we're like, "Yeah, you could be in trouble, all right." And then he went out and ran a 67-minute half, and I got fuck, he'd be all right.
He is. He's obviously just a natural athlete. Natural.
He's
Serious.
strong. I'll keep going to questions because there were so many people sent them in. I might as well get them out of the way. But Rob Lennon was another one. Do you plan to include some level of swim and bike for your next marathon, or just focus on the running side only?
So I kept a good bit of swimming going there. Up until the last one, I only pulled the swimming back probably 3 weeks out. I was doing probably three swims a week, and yeah, it was good. I was swimming with a mate of mine because I just wanted to keep in contact with him. And we were doing 3K every Wednesday. But the bike, I would only jump on the bike when I'd have a niggle. And then like now, like I went out on a couple of spins. The bike is great. The bike is great. You go out for 3 hours with the lads, you have a yap. We've done 100K on Christmas, on Stephen's Day, me, Nate and Orlando. And it's a great buzz. And I do miss a bit of that, but I won't be doing much of it. I won't be doing much of it now. I'd love to get the mileage up on the run up to like what I would call good numbers.
You touched on it there yourself, and again, this is, I'm sure you're aware, like you mentioned about your muscle and all that, like you're a bulky
I
guy
know.
for such a for a
I know.
marathon runner. Is that
I know.
something that you look at maybe as part of the Hamburg, training to come down in size, or as you said,
It's not
you
going
just
anywhere.
can't, you can't,
Can't. It's not like I went into Seville Marathon definitely under 10% body fat, you know? And didn't I eat clean? I don't lift weights. It's not going anywhere. And like that, I'm always trying to, when I'm out doing long runs, my traps do be like on fire, shoulders do be on fire. It'd be like, I was having a look at the video of me and the little I don't know whether he's Kenyan or not, but the little fella in the green and the red, the eyes of me compared to him. Do you know what I mean? And I'm looking at all these people on the Sweat Elite.
Who's this guy?
You know what I mean? I'm looking at all these people on the Sweat Elite channel and the lads are whippets. Do you know what I mean? They're proper whippets. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to be lighter. I'd love to get down to like 59 kilo.
You don't have the typical marathon frame, I'd give it up, but in fairness, you can carry, you did
like,
it.
What weight are you, Anthony?
I hover about 63, 64.
Like that's like you're a bigger man, but that's still very light, you know what I mean? Like,
why not?
You know, and like I remember like I'm 69 kgs was at my marathon weight is what I was like. And if I was imagine me losing another X amount, you know, so it's you're
still light.
You look way bigger than everybody else, but you're still
muscle.
Very light with it. All right, I'm fascinated the last few weeks with your Instagram. All right.
Yeah.
So you've obviously had built up a friendship and a partnership with a production company. I can't remember his name. Sorry, no, I apologize.
AK Productions.
AK, and the videos have been, in fairness, like we've actually people coming in saying the soundtracks are unreal, the videos are unreal. People are actually loving that side of it. And I just happened to look in the other day at, you know, even at your reels and your like massive viewership for the reels and everything like that. How was that side been for you? As in, you know, have you been getting a lot more interaction from people?
Like it did take off. No, I'm still nowhere near numbers that I see people like 40,000 followers around, and that must be heavy to deal with because even I'm getting a lot. You know, like it's great. It's a great buzz. People are enjoying it. I enjoy it. We would have a lot more done. Adam would have me out all the time doing it because he's always getting ball. But I'm very busy. And we could have got a lot more done. Now, he has done great things with it. He controlled. Like, he did do nine. Yeah, he done all of it. We went down another mate of his and a mate of mine, T1 Media. He done a couple of videos for me. But the lads together, they're lethal. You know, they can make something look.
Yeah.
You know, make it look
polished.
The job like.
Yeah. And where did the idea come from? Was it just to be accountable or was it just to put a bit of, you know,
No, so I was always trying to tap into this social media, but I hadn't got the bottle. And I bought loads of gadgets and all. I bought gimbals and mics and a gas. If you went back this time last year, sorry, Christmas last year, I showed up, me and my mate Nate, we were going out cycling. I showed up with a load of gadgets, start recording them and all these. Like, what are you doing, you magic? I bought all the gadgets and was a bit, and I kept planning on getting into it. Bought a GoPro and all, and me missus at one stage was like, you're going to make a meal with this or you're just going to keep buying gadgets and all? And I was like, no, I'm telling you. And then I bumped into Adam one day and he was on to me saying, we should do something. And then I was like, right, I'm going to make a meal into this. So I got into it. But he, like these filmmakers are looking for good subjects to do things on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he saw me as an opportunity as well.
Of course, yeah.
And he wanted to do a bit. So I was just like, he basically said, yeah, game ball. And I was like, yeah, look, I am. Now, I probably should have been a bit more game ball than what I said I was, but we did make really cool videos and he really did capture good moments in it. Like the two videos he done in Seville, the quality, you know? When you watch them, it proper does capture it. Like there's a bit of a story there, and, you know? He did a really good job in it.
I enjoyed it. And again, that was another person who contacted us, and Aaron Cannell, just saying how they're really enjoying your stuff as well at the moment. I tell a very quick, funny story. Obviously, you're doing work with George and Precision at the moment. And George kindly helped me out too with my journey to Manchester, and I'm just documenting a small bit. So there was one evening I was just about to release my YouTube, which is pure amateur compared to what you're doing. And Damien texted me, and yours, Anthony, was just after being released. And I was like, you better up your game. And I was like, I better hold. I'm not going to put mine out there for another 2 days until this one dies down a bit, maybe, you know.
I tell you this much, for anybody getting into it, you need professionals, you know.
I was about to say that, because, like, you know, myself and Brian have, we've plenty of things that we would love to do. But the problem is, one, it's time. And you said that, you know, you're a busy man. So you're sitting down trying to edit these videos and you're trying to make them look professional and you're trying to think
you
of
don't
music.
Even, you want to see the skill that goes into actual editing.
Yeah.
People think it's just record and all that, like the
No,
graft that goes into that.
it's hours. It's hours for a 3 minute video. Is this the amount of footage that's actually caught for that 3 4 minute footage is just mind-boggling, and they can see things different that we can't see. So they'll see, oh Jesus, I can do this with that, and we were like, how the hell did you think of that? You know, so
Did
like,
you see the precision hydration
yes,
one
very good,
that the lad's done?
Oh yeah, no, that's what I said to Brian. I was like,
Mental.
Brian,
That's the
there
one, yeah.
you go, like.
It was like
That
the one with you running in the forestry and all that. I think was that,
mental. Yeah, like that was like if you have like you wanna see the graph that goes into something like that, like there's glares coming through trees that aren't even actually there. He puts them in. There's noises of birds going on that you think are there. There's so many little things happening that make it something like that that you don't even notice. And now that I've been with the lads, when I watch something now, I'm always looking at angles and light and effects and
Now, what you should do is you should get the lads, right, to put out them clips of the videos without all the special effects, and we see the difference. This is the before and this is the after. This is the work that goes into it, you know?
One of the lads is going to, he is going to do a breakdown of the tutorial of how he done it. He's going to get around to doing it, he said, because it was great. It was a great video. I end up getting a niggle from the hiking up to that lake in Waterford to get the shot. I was at the main hard running in the park on a Saturday, and then we went down there and Adam wanted to go up and get the shot at the lake, and I wasn't really up for it. And he was like, "Nah, come on, come on, come on." We went up there, started lashing around, hiking back down a mountain in the dark with bleeding lights off their cameras to get us through the trails. And then I ran into a niggle then the next day and missed a week of training. And I didn't blame him, but I am blaming him. Right?
No, it's brilliant, and I think tell it, it's a bit of freshness too because it's just something different. And again, for anyone listening, I'd encourage them to go to Anthony's page and follow you, I suppose, and you'd see
But
the magic.
Brian, I was and as Anthony, I just said briefly because I actually do want to come back to civil ever so slightly or again in a
Of
second,
course.
and we won't keep it much longer. But with it, and I was looking at your like even followers, it just shows how hard it is to grow a followership on Instagram and things like this because your videos are hitting massive, massive numbers. And like,
40,000 followers, Nick. Get 40,000 views, you'll get four likes off it or
you'll
something.
get four, and that's
Like,
it. And you're only getting like you have, and when I say only, like as in compared to other people, you two
of course.
thousand 600 or whatever like that it is. And like the amount of hard work that goes into for someone to grow what they're trying to do and show, and it just shows how hard it is that people work for it. So that's why I encourage people to go around and support people by giving them a like, just give them a follow because that one follow makes a massive difference to everybody. And I mean, this is even for ourselves, just follow the person because it can make a massive difference to in the long run for that individual.
There's a few things that you need, like social media is now a full, it's a full business now. There's things you can do that can boost things and get you out there, and it's all engagement. That's what it seems to be. It's all about the engagement.
But it's
It's not
all
just about the
time.
followers.
It's all time. And
It's your time and effort gone into it.
Do you want to ask something about Seville there, Damien?
Sorry,
Sorry.
yeah. I just because I want to go back to your race strategy that day, all right? Because you did talk about Gary holding you back, all right? So pushing you back. So you went in, you had 220 in your head. Gary had 223-ish in his head. How was it for you to control yourself to stay with Gary for the first, half, effectively 21K or 13 miles in real numbers?
I give you a
And
gas
then,
pack. I can bring it right through because it's still fresh. So I'm not even messing. Me, Simon, and Gary were warming up in a little park. It was a mad buzz. This was a bit of an hour body buzz when you're standing, when everybody's just standing around and then it's time to warm up. You know that buzz? It's like everybody just standing there and next minute everybody's just running in a circle. And it
30 in
was a
time.
very small park, so everybody was just running in a circle. And I was like, this is a mad bus. Everybody's getting ready to run 42K as best as they can, and like you can see the serious operators and everybody just running. And that song, Dire Straits, name of Dire Straits song, not the
It's
Money for Nothing.
the
What's the
walk of
other one?
life. The walk of life.
No, it wasn't the Walk of Life.
Dire Straits. I have to go Googling.
Just
Oh, sorry. What's the song, Sultans?
Sultan's
What's
a
that one? Yeah, what's that one?
Sultans of Pings, isn't it? Go on, carry on. I'll go check
So that song was
it up.
on, and Gary was just running around the park, right? And he was running towards me, breaking his bollocks, laughing, like just warming up. And I was like, no way, this is a mad buzz. And then the warm up was just kind of,
Sultans of Swing by Dire
yeah,
Straits.
that's it. That's it, right? That was on. I'll never forget it, even though I didn't know the song. But it was a mad buzz, and it was happening, right? I was just like getting ready to warm up. And then we were baiting around in circles, like everybody's just running around in circles, like in a very small space. And then it was right, let's go to the start line. So we made our way up. We got up as close as we could, me, Simon, and Gary. And then the day before, Simon was at the pointing out a little Kenyan board, and he was like, Ando, keep your eye on her. She's quality. If you can see her, stay with her. And then we were standing there a few rows back, and Simon was like, there she is there. And I was like, right, no bother. So we got up as close as we could to him, and boom, went off. That was a mad buzz as well, because you know the way they kind of stand everybody in line, and then they go bang, and everybody comes up about 3 feet, and then they're getting ready to go. But I didn't know, I wasn't used to that, so I was like, what the fuck's going on? And then we got up, and yeah, went, and then like that, we just got to a couple of kilometers. We seen the group. Gary was with me. I was trying to go faster than I was probably capable of going at the very start. And he told me to relax. We end up settling into a group. We weren't with the women just then. I remember like seeing them over to the left a little bit. Came through probably first UK up to about 10K. From about 10K on, I knew we were with the crew then. I mean, Gary was like, right, this is who we're gonna be with for the day here. And yeah, like they run in a train. You know, and there is a draft effect off that when you're in that train. And I started to really gel with them from about 15K onwards, I'd say. And I remember coming up to the halfway mark. So yeah, Gary was telling me to chill out. I'm not messing. Probably told me 10 times to chill out in the first half marathon.
Just like
First half.
father-son relationship there, I think.
Literally kept calling me, you know, and like that. Like I'm used to Gary always calling me, so I would it just be a just pull the cadence back just a little bit, and you'd be right beside him again, you know. So there was a good bit of that. Then I remember at like 21K, he thinks it was the 30K mark, but it wasn't the 30K mark. It was the 21K mark, just coming up to it. Came around the bend, and the pace picked up very quickly, and I was like, Gary, pace are picking up here, and he says, hasn't even started, Ando. And I was like, no way. I mean, I didn't know that, didn't anticipate that. Even though I knew nobody makes a move for 32K, I learned so much on the job. So much.
Incredible.
It was a great feeling.
And you know, like you were saying earlier, like your training obviously went well, your nutrition plan on the day went really well. You held yourself back, well, Gary held you back. Like,
Yeah.
was there a point when you kind of, okay, I'm really in a race here, I'm starting to hurt, you know. Did anything change as it went into further into the race, I suppose?
No, there was no pain. I can't say there was any other pain than the pressure on my stomach in the last 2K. There was a blondie geezer, a big Swiss fella. He was a big lump as well, and he took off away from us at about, I think about 42K. I think he started to make his move. I didn't really start making my move proper until about 35, 36. That big blondie fella, I remember seeing him going, and I was thinking about going with him. I hesitated a bit, and then I lost sight of him. But then on one of the straight roads where the Ferris wheel, I think, is in Seville, and I went onto a big open road then, and it was a long straight, and I seen him. And this is when I was in, like, I was like making me move, and then I was starting to chase people down then. So you're not really thinking about pace anymore. You're looking at a target, and you're like, right, I'm getting to him as quick as I can. Then you get to him, and like you're just getting him in no time, and then you're looking at somebody else then. And then it got very blurry, not blurry, but with all of the caffeine, you're so ramped up, and it's so tunnel vision. And then you're in enclosed streets then. You're not out in the open anymore. You're inside like little shopping streets in Seville. It felt very flat out. You're running on cobblestones. It was like you're running by like glass windows and all. Do you know what I mean? It's flat out at this stage. And then from about 3K out then, I started to get the pressure on my stomach. And I'm 2K, I was checking the watch every, you know, the way like you're just letting the kilometers come through. through the race. But then, like, as it gets like down the brass tacks, I'm like checking the watch, and I was like, right. And the watch kept pinging about 100 meters before the marker.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was wrecking my head for the last 2K. I was like, oh, I need to get here. Then you kind of came around the bend then and you could see the finish line. And then I had the little board and I'm on the chase and I just jumped on them.
Yeah.
And the
finishing couple of kilometers is great because this camera stuck on you. Like, I mean, you, as I said, you got unbelievable coverage for your debut.
So, another thing, the marathon we done in training, I remember being very, it's like you feel vulnerable until you get to the point where you know you definitely have this, you know? It's like that can be a very short time, but from like 35 to 4 or 35 to 38 can be a very long, questionable few minutes, you know? You're like, am I going to make this? Am I going to fuck it up? Am I going to push up a little bit more here and then blow up out of nowhere? But then once you get to a spot where you know you have it, you can push on. So I learned that in that marathon that me and Gary done. I remember feeling that coming in the house at about 28K and I was very back and forth. Gary was in front of me and I didn't want him to push me too much in case I pushed too much and blew up. So I knew I could handle it at the back end of the marathon. I knew like that day we done that in house, I finished very fast coming in the house, but I knew from like, I just knew I was going to have the strength in the back end. Because I'd done that in training, I definitely had the confidence to push on from 36. That's why I made the move at 36.
Yeah, incredible. Right, so maybe we briefly look forward. So Hamburg is on the cards. What's the aim for Hamburg? So,
yeah, so look, Gary told me, not that he told me, he didn't say this to me, but he was just like, if you really want to be looking at numbers that, because I told Gary, like, look, Gary's on 216, do you know what I mean? So like at the bare minimum I want down myself as
216.
I can't look at 216 or even think of 216 unless I get into the tens. So I need to get there first. And then I can look at the likes of lower numbers. But until then I'm just talking a big game and I need to get under the 220 mark. 220 seems to be a time that gets people. Follow me now on Nick Betzler. Few geezers, your man.
Yeah.
Matt Fox, who does the Sweat Elite, spent a long time trying to get under there. Do you know what I mean? So I do want to get under there. And then I think
there's not a major amount of runners, Anthony, especially in Ireland, like, and you're getting closer to that geezer up north then, do you know what I mean?
That was a crack.
That was brilliant, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So look, that was brilliant. And the way Adam done it was brilliant. But, like, I'm a massive fan of Scullion, yeah? I watch all of his videos. I took a lot of knowledge from his carb load and strategy, and I used it. Do you know, I watch all of his stuff. He's a quality operator. He's Ireland's fastest man over a marathon. He's, like, the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I do look at him as just a geezer from the same bleeding, the same as me. Do you know what I mean? He's only from bleeding Belfast or wherever he's from. Like, he's made from the same stuff I'm made of. Do you know what I mean? He's 20 years of running graft over me.
Yeah.
So, like, why couldn't I look at something like that? Do you know what I mean? I done my fourth marathon. Like, but then, like, the serious operators, do you know what I mean? Like, look at, you think my debut marathon was good. Look at Chris, he went 2:12, you know?
Yeah.
Louis Armstrong, he went 2:12.
Armstrong on before, yeah. We were talking about that before as
like,
well, yeah.
Serious, serious operators. Now, the lads are runners and have came from running. I'd say I've done less than 10 actual road races all in. Definitely less than 10.
Yeah, that's scary. You
know? But the lads are legit, you know? The lads are proper legit, like, proper legit. And there's a load of serious operators out there. Like, think about when the likes of the track lads do go into the marathons. Like, they'd be blitzing everybody. Like, you know?
Just, we're nearly there. I suppose you mentioned Dublin as well. Is Dublin potentially on the cards as well, or...?
I'd love to do Dublin. Yeah. I would love to do it. You know, be a cracker.
Or come down to Cork if you want. Yeah.
Cork, so the lads are going to Cork.
Yeah.
Even and all, they're all going down. I might go down to watch, you know what I mean? I might go down and watch it.
Well,
it's a big one, is it?
If you're coming down, we had Gary and Tudor last year. We host after party, and we will be again this year. And in fairness to Gary and Tudor, they came up on stage last year and it was good fun. So we might even get you up on that one. Yeah.
I might buzz down. I really will. When is it? June?
June weekend, yeah.
June 2nd, yeah. And don't forget, Simon Nolan's child won the entry to the Cork Marathon that time, isn't it?
Yeah.
No way. Are you doing it?
I'll be doing the 10K.
Okay.
I've retired from marathons.
Yeah, we're involved though. We're very involved in pacing in the half and the day, but like that, we were live from the start lines last year. We do a lot of footage around it, so we have a bit of fun. We might bring in your production company this year, actually.
Can they get on to him?
Yeah,
Yeah.
but no, it would be great. I like we always say it would be great to see like yourself, Ryan Creech, Scully, and all these guys like at these at our own races as well, just to see the best of the best, you know.
But anyway,
Yeah.
okay.
We'll
I think
watch your
that's, I think
story,
we.
Anthony. We'll get everybody watching your Instagram page and following it, and we'll watch the story closely and keep the videos coming because we really enjoy it. But genuinely, thanks a million for joining us, and
No bother.
best of luck. And hopefully, we might see you in Cork in June, sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge thanks there to Anthony, as you said, gave very willingly of his time, and we covered a lot there. And it did jump around, but it was just a chat, and that's the way we like it as well at times. Really enthusiastic guy. If you're not following him on Instagram, I'd highly recommend you do. His videos are we spoke about they're incredible, and you know he's certainly someone to watch it and going over. He did say, and we better say it, Damien, that when we stopped recording, he did thank his missus, as he calls it, but his missus is Kate, I believe is the right name. I hope I have the right name. Kate is a quite accomplished runner herself. But he did praise the Kate, so don't give out to him. He got
Yeah,
your name in Irish,
you were
so he got it in.
mentioned. Yeah, you
Yeah.
were mentioned enough. It just unfortunately wasn't mentioned in the recording.
Yeah.
So blame Brian on that. But no, look, brilliant. And thanks again to Anthony for the time. Make sure you get on and follow him and follow his journey to Hamburg, which is only, a short distance time away as well for him. So he's going for the sub 220s, people will hear. So it's a big one. Well worth it. As you said, videos are brilliant. So
Yeah, and the challenge is on. He's aiming for his coach's time, Gary Hanlon, but he's also aiming to have more listeners on this podcast than Gary had on his. So the
yes.
challenge is out there. So get behind Anthony if you know him. Get behind him, start listening in and sharing this podcast because he's his eyes set on beating Gary O'Hanlon's listenership.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And we'll announce that next week if he does. Well, it might take him more than a week, but we'll get there.
Ryan, another week down. We will have news next week, more and more about our fundraiser, which is going to be sorted. So that is, we're just waiting on now this Bween School to finish up on their designs for the t-shirts, and we will then come back and we will say what we're exactly, what we're doing and with the t-shirts and the prices and everything like that. So bear with us, this will be very shortly. We'll be announcing all that. But to everybody, a massive thank you again to everyone who has listened, who has sent us comments, who has liked, who has subscribed, who has done everything. Really appreciate it. It means an awful lot to myself and Brian and to the lads who give us a hand as well. Andy is claiming that, everywhere he goes at the moment, that he is the, he's an influencer, the whole lot. His new blog, which is coming out as well today, which is Monday. So this is for people who are listening today. The blog will be out Monday. Make sure you check that out as well.
Yep.
Right.
So, till
Enjoy.
next time, hopefully, we'll see people soon again on the roads. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Good night.